James, the fifth chapter, the Word of God tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Because there's neither male nor female with God, we can say the prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. The Bible said he prayed earnestly. And it rained not on the earth but the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And he prayed again. 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. Actually, this all begins in the 17th chapter. This man had power with God. 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. I mean, this just reads so simple. Man of God showed up, says unto King Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, and then God began to lead him. I mean, the man shows up. He doesn't socialize. He doesn't fraternize. You know, he just shows up and said, there won't be rain till I say so. See you later. And, of course, the king did about like what anyone would do. Yeah, right. You know, who do you think you are? Well, that 3.5 years went by and there's no rain. Now, all of a sudden, Elijah's the most important man in the country. And now in 1 Kings 18, actually coming into it, he begins to say to a right-hand man of the king, he said, you go tell the king that things are going to change. He said, yeah, right. He said, about the time I tell the king that, you'll disappear. I mean, this man's something else. He moves into town. He says, it's not going to rain till I say so. And he has such a reputation that this man will not even go to the king, because he said, about the time I go to the king, you'll disappear and my head will roll. Very interesting man, this Elijah the Tishbite. And you know the story of how that God gave him the instructions. God must have spoken to his heart. And he prayed. And the fire fell. And then let's go into the rest of the story. You know what God spoke to my heart about James chapter 5 and 1 Kings chapter 18? It's time for Elijah prayers. It's time for Elijah prayers. You say, well, Brother Nichols, you're in the Old Testament. Yes, but I've already read to you from the New Testament. And the New Testament gives us the keen insight that Elijah prayed, earnestly prayed, and things happen. It's time for Elijah prayers. If there's anything that I know outside of the authority and the integrity and the power of the Word of God, it's the fact that God hears and answers prayer. God hears and answers prayer. This church, in fact, it was interesting. I know my mother prayed for years. She knew what God would do. And when I came to Mom and I said, Mom, I believe God would have us, you know, to begin a church. She said, well, I've been praying about that for a long time. And she said, I know. And of course, it was my mother's prayers that prayed me back from the gates of hell. And you saw the minister, Brother Sam Smith, who stood here on a Sunday morning, not too many Sundays ago. Actually, two of our lives were spared because of Mother's prayers. And the one thing that I know, I like a lot of people praying, but it doesn't take a lot of people praying. Sometimes it's just that core of people that know how to pray and touch God. One person of faith is more valuable than 100 folks just praying around. And so let me give you some insights that God, it's time for Elijah prayers. It's time for Elijah prayers about yourself. It's time for Elijah prayers about your family. It's time for Elijah prayers about your children, your grandchildren. It's time for Elijah prayers simply because Elijah prayers work. Sometimes we pray about things, and I think too often we pray about things. We need to pray things. Heard it so many years ago. Well, in a certain church, have Brother so-and-so pray. He always prays a beautiful prayer. And God said, I'm not impressed. So what's so different about an Elijah prayer? Well, first of all, it was timely. His prayer started a drought. We used to hear the old saying, don't start something you can't finish. His prayer was a timely prayer. In fact, his prayer spared the country from total devastation because of the drought. It was a timely prayer. It was a life-saving prayer. I've prayed prayers that I knew saved my life. You've prayed prayers that you know either saved your life or someone else. It was a timely prayer. And the reason that we're emphasizing prayer during these days, we need to pray for our country as never before. Just because we're not on the front lines of somewhere does not mean that we do not need to pray. We need to pray. It was a timely prayer. Secondly, as I looked into this prayer of Elijah, it was preceded by repairing the altar of prayer. Repairing the altar of prayer. You see, there was such respect for prayer that they knew prayer could not be prayed. You had to have a proper altar for the sacrifice. You shut the closet door on the average Christian and say, I'll be back in 1 hour. They'd be knocking on the door in 5 minutes. You ever just said, I'm going to pray in the Spirit for 2 hours? I mean, 10 minutes later, you're looking at your watch. When you get lost in the Spirit, time really doesn't make any difference. You see, it was preceded by repairing the altar. I've seen it many times over the years. I wished it happened every time. Every once in a while, I see it break loose. You know what real praise is when people praise when the cheerleader's not leading. You know what real prayer is? Real prayer goes beyond prayer, touches the heart of God. Amen. It's like a forest fire. Once it's going with intensity, it'll leap over the highway, and the sparks will go to the other side. We were up in Colorado and saw the devastation of that forest fire last summer, I believe it was. And we drove through the area and we saw the devastation of how once that thing is going, it may take a little while to get it started, but once that thing is going, once the power and the force of prayer is in motion, hell can't stop it. And so it was preceded by repairing the altar. Sometimes we need to repair the altar of repentance in our life. Sometimes we need to repair the altar of reestablishing our faith in the promises of God. Point being, in anybody's church, almost everybody's church, you could announce, I could name 3 or 4 names that were going to be here. And I mean the place would be packed on Monday night or Tuesday night. I could announce Joyce Meyer would be here. And I'm telling you, they'd be lined up down the road there. But I could say, Monday night we're going to have a prayer meeting. Oh, yeah. What about praise and worship? I mean, what about an international speaker? What? You mean just a prayer meeting? Let me tell you something, folks. Prayer will change a nation. Prayer will change a church. Prayer will change us. And I wished I could say there were 100 Elijahs, and I know there were the school of the prophets and the kings and so on. But let me tell you, one man or one woman of faith that knows the faith principles of prayer can shake a nation, they can shake a city, they can shake a church, and God will hear and answer prayer. It was preceded by repairing the altar. Sometimes it's the altar of forgiveness. Sometimes it's making things right. You know, there's a lot of things that go into the repairing of the altar. But aren't you glad that when it's time to pray, that we can repair the altar? I said we can repair the altar. Repairing the altar probably is priming the pump through praise and worship unto God. The third thing that God opened to me about this, and I'm not going to take a long time on each point, it was based, scripturally based on the Word of God. I always like to go to prayer with the Word of God. Whenever I pray, I like to have the Word of God and like to have some kind of a legal pad, because when you talk, God listens and God will speak. When Elijah came to the Lord, you'll notice in this 1 Kings 18:36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel or Jacob, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant. He acknowledged him as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel or Jacob. Now you say, what's so important about that? You know, I found out in doing business or whatever you do, get to the top. And sometimes even that doesn't work. I remember in the old property that before we were able to deal on the hillside, I remember going to Jim Wright, who was, of course, our congressman at that time, spent time in his office. And I think in good faith, I think he worked some on it. But one day I'll never forget, we went to his office and it looked like we were hanging by a thread. We had to have that something from the water board, and it was. And you see, when you've done everything you know how to do and it still doesn't work, then God has a better plan. When you do everything you know how to do and it still doesn't work, then know that God has a better plan. And God's better plan is better than your plan. I never will forget the day in Jim Wright's office. He said, you know, Reverend, he said, I've just run out of time on this. He said, I've got to fly to Washington and I have pressing pride. He said, I've just run out of time. I thought, oh God. You know, the problem was my faith was in Jim Wright, who had a lot of influence at that time. That's before all the political things came down. Man, I walked out of that office. I felt like, dear God, where did I fail? What is the deal? We need that property. And so it looked like we lost it and we sold it. And it was gone 13 years, but it came back. And part of the reason that we're still blessed is that God brought it back, not by Jim Wright, but God brought it back, bought that hillside property, the lower part. God brought that eight acres back his way. I've learned a lot of lessons over a period of time. God didn't bring it back through a man. God brought it back his way. Let someone else pay the taxes on it for 13 years. Let someone else do the improvements on the parking lot. Let someone else warehouse it for 13 years. And then we were able to buy back that same property for $100,000. Bought it for $650,000, sold it for $850,000, put $2,000 on the principal of the upper 5 acres. Someone else had it for 13 years, and it went from $850,000 to $1 million to $2 million to $3 million until it went up to $7 million. You'd have to walk where I've been to understand this. I'm saying it too quick. Up to $7 million. And every time we'd go to Sunbelt Savings in Dallas, they'd say, your checkbook's not big enough. You know, we'd go over there. Finally, we just stopped going the last 2 years. That property was warehoused. I'm talking about God knows how to do things. When it's based on the Word of God. God knows how to do things when it's based on the Word of God. God knows how to do things when it's based on the Word of God. And then they came to us from the government and said, we have to get this out of our portfolio. This property has been nothing but a Jonah ever since we bought it. I said, I can tell you why, because somebody stole it. And they said, make us an offer. And I said, we'll give you $100,000 and close anytime you want to close. They closed their portfolio like business people did and walked out orderly. 30 days later, called back and said, when do you want to close? The government canceled $7 million to give us our property back for $100,000. I said that too quickly, but I don't have time to go into all the detail. I mean, there are so many miracles. I cannot doubt the hand of God that has been with us through the years, because I mean, we've come to time after time when man couldn't do it, I couldn't do it, but God did it. And his prayer was based on the God of Abraham, the God of covenant promise, the God of Isaac, who is the God of miracles, and the God of Jacob, who is the God of a second chance, restoration. Aren't you glad that God knows how to take our mess and turn it into a glorious message? So God, any rivers you think are uncrossable, God, any mountains you can't tunnel through, God specializes in things that you think are impossible, and God can do what no other power can do. Part of our coming out of the storm goes right back to that piece of property, that one piece of property that we gave $100,000 that turned into several million dollars. I tell you, my God is the best real estate agent. He's the best banker. He's the best businessman. I'm telling you, when you put things in God's hands, just watch his smoke. Oh, thanks be unto God, because God is an awesome God. You know, when you start with a $40,000 bill and no money in your pocket, $2.89, and standing on Isaiah 41:10, 38 years ago, and see how far God's brought this congregation and see what God's done, and I give God all the glory. It's more than property. It's the faithfulness of God. It's not just 17 and a half acres of real estate, but now that real estate's gone all over the world, and we have seed that's being sown even as we speak. Seed that's being sown. It was based, scripturally based on the word of God. You know, sometimes people come to me with some far out, over the moon type of thing. And you know, sometimes I just don't have the heart to refute it. I really don't, you know. Sometimes Jesus just didn't say anything. In fact, if I ever speak in anyone's life, I have the confidence that you'll listen to me if I speak. If I don't have the confidence somebody will even hear me sometime, I'm kind of like Brother Hagin. He'll say, yep, and he twiddle his thumb, yep. I'll tell you, we'd been done wrong several years ago by a very crude, rude, it was a pitiful thing. We were back in Bear Street. I mean, a man did a very unethical thing. I was so upset. I was so steamed. And he got all some of those hippies confused. I mean, it was the biggest mess you ever saw in your life. And I thought, my God, we paid the price for this meeting, and we've stayed with it, and here somebody comes along and just starts criticizing and, you know, putting it. And, oh, I thought, God, what, have you gone on vacation and have an unlisted phone number? What is going on? And I got in my car and drove to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and got with Brother Hagin, sat down, and I said, Brother Hagin, let me tell you something. He said, yep. And so I poured out my tail, and he sits there twiddling his thumbs like, yep. And, I mean, there wasn't even a tear in his eyes. I mean, he just, yep. I thought, I drove 300 miles for this. Yep. But Brother Hagin, you don't, and I mean, I painted that story as bad as, boy, I've never done anything like that since then. But I mean, that man was a blessing. But he just, yep. No sympathy, just listening. And finally, he said, well, Brother Bob, he said, you know, the day will come when that man in that situation won't even be there. And I thought, yeah, right across the street from us. What are you talking about? Now, aren't we, you know, I drive 300 miles to get a word from God, and I'm not even listening to what the man's saying. I did listen, though. And, you know, it wasn't but just a short period of time until they moved somewhere else. And, I mean, they'd send their disciples. So here's the crazy, you know, religious people can do some crazy things. They'd come over and tell our kids, hey, there's nothing there. You know, this church, nothing. Oh, it was just a mess. You know, people just messing with brand new converts is what was making me so upset. I mean, dear God, they came out of the world. Now they got to deal with religion. But you know, that thing moved. And one day I looked out there and the bulldozer was bulldozing that very building. Brother Hagin's word came to pass. He said, there'll be a day they won't even be there. There'll be a day they'll be gone. They'll be gone. And that happened. Yep, Brother Bob. Yep. He was so kind to me. He should have. I was much younger and much greener at that time. And you know, I just feel like saying that tonight, some of the things that some of you are facing, seem like I've been pastoring all day long. Some of the things that some of you are facing, rivers that seem uncrossable and mountains you can't tunnel through, you'll look one day and it won't even be there. What's such a big deal right now won't even be there. Things that you're battling now, you'll say, where in the world did that feeling go? Where in the world did that person go? Where in the world did those people? What happened? God took care of it his way. I'm telling you, God knows how to take care of tough situations. There was another thing about his prayer. It was short. Someone timed it. Some people say it's 21 seconds. Some people say it was 18 seconds. It just depends on whether you're talking in Texan or how long you draw it out. How many andas you put in there? It was a short prayer. You know, it's not the long prayer that moves the heart of God. You know what so much a prayer is all about? Getting into the presence. You know really what praise and worship is all about? Getting into the presence. You know what this message is all about? We're going to do something in just a moment. We're going to reach out to God. It's just getting in the presence of God. You know, I mean, sometimes we would drive up, we're in a hurry, and we come in, boy, we just find our seat, and we're just a cooking on the inside. You see, you're not in His presence. You're in the house, but you're not in His presence. I know He lives within us. We all know that. But you know, so much of it is just getting in the presence of God, because when in His presence is fullness. Fullness of what? Whatever you need. In His presence is fullness. When you get in His presence, it doesn't take a long prayer. It doesn't take a loud prayer. Sometimes prayer is loud. Sometimes it's quiet. It doesn't take a long prayer. It doesn't take a short prayer. It doesn't take a loud prayer. It doesn't take a quiet prayer. In His presence, a short prayer will work. In fact, some of the most powerful prayers in the Word of God were short prayers. Some of the most powerful prayers were short prayers. And there's another insight to this Elijah's prayer. It worked. It worked. You know why it worked? Because it was a prayer of faith. He prayed in faith, believing. He believed that what he prayed would come to pass. You know, last Sunday morning, we call people forward. I had some things that I needed some help on. And some things that I felt I needed some prayer. So I still feel that need. But you know, around this altar, there were some fires that were ignited. And several people, I heard some people praying out that I haven't heard pray out in a long time. Some people I've never heard pray out like I heard pray out. God wanted several to do it. Not just one, not just two. Not God wanted to start a forest fire. And I heard some people praying out of their spirit, praying out of the deep of their spirit. Folks, that's what changes nations. George Washington on his knees, calling upon God. Time and time again, the forefathers of this nation, no matter what the modern historians are trying to tell us, they were not perverts. They were godly men. Godly men. In God we trust was not an accident. That was exactly the way this nation was begun. So it was a prayer that worked. I like prayers that work, don't you? The Bible said when he got through praying, the fire fell. And that was one of the most impossible fires in the world, because he poured all the barrels of water over the fire. He did everything to make it hard on God and easy on him. You know, if we're praying, we want to bank it towards, you know, sometimes we take the weight of everything. Let me tell you something. I've got a philosophy, and it's working more and more. Make it hard on God and easy on us. Make it hard on God and easy on us. We just work, 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 work. Hey, remember, if El Shaddai can't pull it off, or if it's not the timing or the will of God to pull it off, you can do anything you want to do. You can put fire starter on the wood and it still won't burn. You can put all the wet blankets in and it's still not, it's just not going to work. Or you can put gasoline on it. It still won't work. But when God's in it, little is much when God is in it. And I know this, we were talking about something up in the mountains, and Joyce said one night before we went to, she said, Bob, do you realize that something was released in our church last Sunday morning? I said, yeah. I mean, she wouldn't let up. It was in her spirit. It just kept rolling. She said, Bob, we must remember and we must stay in agreement that something was released, that God is working. We're calling finances in. It's nothing with God. When you start with nothing, then, you know, you appreciate what I'm talking about tonight. It's nothing with God. B.B. Hankins, that I was telling you about, he just went on to be with the Lord. Have his memorial service this week. He preached for the longest time and taught on finances. And he said, one day a $1 million check will be written to this church in West Columbia, Texas. One traffic light. First time I went to West Columbia, I had the fame and claim of following John Osteen, because John Osteen was supposed to preach a tent revival and he called and canceled, and that pastor called me and said, Bob, can you be here by tonight? I don't know of anyone else that can help us. And I got my car. You have to want to go to West Columbia, Texas. You can get there, but you just have to work to get there. It's not a straight shot like Houston or Austin. I mean, you got to work, boomerang a little bit to get there. And I mean, the sidewalks rolled up at 6 p.m. in the evening. And that man of God moved in there, and God helped him, and he took a little old frame church. If you shouted in it, the dust would come up from the wooden floors. First offering they gave me to, in a brown paper sack. And they took it up in a pickle jar. When the meeting was over, I got all the change and a few of the bills. It was all they had. It was the best they could do. And John Osteen couldn't come, but Bob Nichols was there. And so we've had a long time relationship. But from that little humble beginning of that little humble frame church, God has given them a high school gymnasium. And then they built, I don't know what all they've got down there. Every time I turn around, they're always building something else down there. And he just kept saying, he said, you mark my word, the day will come when a $1 million check will come into this church in West Columbia, Texas. I mean, $1 million is a miracle anytime it comes in anywhere. But in West Columbia, I mean, this is like the wealth of the world being unloaded on your doorstep. The day came. I know the man that did it. The day came. A man sold out his corporation, got a windfall, kind of a profit, and brought $1 million to his church. The tithe was $1 million off that deal. And I'm telling you, then a lot of people said, oh, yeah, it can happen. But see, he believed it before it happened. He believed it before it happened. He called it in before it manifested. In a wonderful but an average congregation, he just kept teaching the principles of faith and encouraging people to give. And I mean, some people thought he had lost it. What's with pastor? $1 million? You just don't hear of $1 million all the time coming into a church. Well, I'm just going to prophesy, praise God, $1 million is coming into this house. So how many are going to lock in with me? You going to lock in with me on that? Hey, that's no big deal with God. That's no big deal with God. If God can do it in West Columbia, Texas, God can do it anywhere. Praise be unto God. It worked. The fire fell. It was a prayer of faith. I'm going to give you two more insights here, and then we're going to pray. It proved that God is God. Look at verse 39, I believe it is. Then the fire of God fell. And verse 39, when all the people saw it. See, God does some things just for show and tell. When all the people saw it, what did they see? They saw an altar that was rebuilt. They saw wood that was soaked in water. They saw an impossible situation. Elijah doesn't have anything to start fire with except his faith. But I'm telling you, when there's nothing to start a fire with, your faith will start a fire. And when the people saw it, it's one thing about this church over the years, there's things that people can see. The fact that we're here is the people can see it. They fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. God got all the glory out of this situation. This was not an Elijah deal. They said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Oh, I love it when nothing else could help. Nothing else. But the Lord, he is God. Brother, when God does it, you know he's done it before and he can do it again. When God's done it before, you know God can do it again. It proved that God is God. Brother, when you faced as many deadlines as this preacher's faced in the old property, to get $1.5 million, we needed $1.5 million to get it out of the old balloon note, or we're going to lose everything. Fred Price needed $1.5 million. Marilyn Hickey needed $1.5 million for their, all three of us needed exactly $1.5 million. And we'd call each other, say, have you got yours yet? No, have you got yours yet? Well, we're believing God. It's coming. It's coming. Fred Price, seemed like a joke today, but they needed $1.5 million. They had to have it. Marilyn Hickey had to have $1.5 million for their church in Denver, Colorado. We had to have $1 million. It just happened that three churches in Los Angeles and Denver and Fort Worth, Texas needed $1.5 million. And none of us knew where to go find it. We were looking for it, but we couldn't find it. And all kind of promises and all, you know, I mean, endless brokers. And then the holidays come and nobody does anything around Thanksgiving and Christmas. I mean, it's the loneliest time of the year when your back's against the wall. Waiting for the phone, waiting for that check in the mail, waiting for that phone to come through. Never will forget a Sunday morning. Man came to the church and was blessed. He said, I've been sitting toward the back. But he said, preacher, can I do anything for you? I said, well, yeah. I said, you help us get this $1.5 million note financed. No one will touch it. He said, where do you bank? I said, told him. He said, what? I said, but I don't want to discourage you, but I said, we've knocked on that door. And they say, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He said, well, would you give me a, let me do it. Let me do it. I said, well, what do we have to lose? He walked in on a Monday morning, took his old Stetson, oily Stetson hat off, put it on the banker's desk, and he said, what are you here for, sir? He said, well, he said, you've been milking this cow long enough, it's time you start feeding this cow. Because we had our bank account there. He said, you've been milking this cow long enough, it's time you start feeding this cow. And the banker broke out into a belly laugh, and he said, that's what I like, a man with a sense of humor. How much do you need? He said, $1.5 million. That's $1,537,500, actually. And he said, when do you need it? He said, we need it pretty quickly. He said, we'll do it. We'll do it. I'd been three times. I'd pulled every chain I could pull. I'd done everything I knew how to do. Not that I know how to do everything, but you know, when you have to, you can do a lot of things. But again, up against a wall. You know why I'm so stubborn? Because I've been there. I've been there. Isn't that something? God sends a cowboy kind of a guy in. Hey, don't sell a cowboy short. He walks into the banker, puts his old oily Stetson hat on his desk, and said, You've been milking this cow. It's time to start feeding this cow. And in 90 days we had to have it, or it was history. 60 days we had it in place, and the rest is history. That's the rest of the story. And then the day came when that property was paid off. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he can do what no other power will do. You see, it was a timely prayer. It was preceded by repairing the altar. It was a short prayer. It was scripturally based on the word of God. It was a prayer that worked because it was a prayer of faith. It proved that God is God. But finally, the prayer that broke the drought and brought the rain was in seven steps. It's time to act out your faith. You say, well, I thought it was just this short prayer. I'd love it too. But you know, to the servant, he said, he's praying, and he said, go look. What about it? Go seven times. Now there's a time when you've already prayed the prayer of faith. You've already done what God said to do. Now it's time to walk it out. What are you looking for, cloud? You're not practical. You're one of those super spirits. What are you looking for? Looking for a cloud. Man of God said, look, go seven times. And finally, the young man comes back and he said, I finally found one, but it was a small one. That'll work. It's only the size of a man's hand. Elijah said, that's the cloud I've been waiting for. There comes a time, just walk out your faith. The prayer of faith has been prayed. The seed has been planted. You've already sown. And you go and you say, where is that cloud? Not here yet. Just keep on walking. Just keep on believing. Just keep on looking. Just keep on walking. Just keep on looking. Nothing, 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 nothing. Bam! cloud the size of a man's hand. Well, that's not much. Hey, that's all God. That's all you need. Cloud the size of a man's hand. It's not a big cloud. It's not a thunderstorm. It's time to walk your faith out. It's just time to walk your faith out. You've already believed. You've already planted your seeds. You've already released your faith. It's just time to walk your faith out.